76 degrees in Kalamazoo. 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Hour number two getting underway. Of course, you heard the weather just a second ago. Well, it was brought to you by the Cancer Control Coalition of Southwest Michigan. Glad they're on board and bringing it to you. Well, I'm glad you're with us. We have been spending some time talking about, because if you're just joining us, I think it's one of those days that you're kind of thankful to hear that that one of the candidates is stepping up and doing what they ought to be doing, which, and what they should have done from the beginning, which is, here's my plan. Democratic candidate for governor Mark Schauer has put out a plan. And, you know, lest you sit here and go, oh, yeah, how long is it, a page and a half? It's actually a 25-page PDF, and you can get it on his website, markschauer.com. And that's where I'm looking at it from, because, you know, we want to get this straight from the source. And I wanted to go over this and analyze it a little bit. Now, last hour, just in my flyover of all the different things he says in there, we talked about, I think the basics you can pull from it are, point one, he doesn't like Governor Rick Snyder. He makes that abundantly clear and has for some time. Well, all throughout this plan, Governor Snyder's done this, Rick Snyder did that, didn't he? He did this, he did that. Man, was he awful. Man, is he horrible. Can't stand. Okay, I get it. I understand you don't like Rick Snyder. But let's get to the stuff you want to do. All right, so he does. He goes through a lot of different things. And we went over some of the road things that he wanted to talk about. And what you really don't get a clear picture of is the, how are we going to pay for it, that goes into this. And that's, I think that's the big problem. And I'm not the only one that's noticed this. I mean, reporters, when he unveiled this, asked him again and again and again, how do you intend on paying for this? How do you intend on paying for that? What's your plan to be able to make sure that that's paid for? Because, you know, in Michigan, we have to make sure that we've got everything balanced out. We're not spending more than what's coming in. So we've got to be careful about that sort of thing. We've got to know it's paid for. Well, throughout the plan, he comes up with certain things that, and, you know, you go through the plan. It is 25 pages. There's lots of points in here, but there's not a lot of points that go specifically to, look, here's how we intend to pay for it. If we do this, this, and this, it'll create this much money, and we can take that money and steer it into education, middle-class tax relief, jobs, the economy, roads, whatever. Fill in your favorite pet project there. There's not a lot of that there. There are certain things where you get the idea of, well, I think I might do it this way, but then you get key words in there that if you look for them, you can see that mean tax increase. And, you know, one of the things we talked about with roads is, you know, okay, so, you know, fuel taxes aren't going to go up. Okay, I get that. Thank you. I understand that. But then he starts talking about, well, companies were given tax breaks by Governor Snyder, and, well, we'll just roll all that back. Well, if you roll all that back, companies plan on certain amounts of money going out. If you roll all that back, suddenly the company has more money going out. They have to account for it on their budget, just like the state has to account for it to be able to make sure everything is paid for. So if you do that and say, all right, we're going to roll that back on here, you know, here come higher taxes for businesses. Businesses have got to do something to be able to take care of that. And they can't just sit there and go, all right, well, so much for profits this year. Not many businesses that are going to do that. So you end up with higher taxes for businesses. And when that happens, you end up with cuts being made, not as much spending going on. Some jobs are cut and things like that. And you don't want to see that. That's not the kind of thing you want to do. Now, I definitely want to hear from you on this, because I, as you go over there, and there are some decent points in here. I don't want you to get the idea that this is, you know, an absolute I can't stand what he's got to say or anything like that. I just, I kind of feel like, you know what, you're offering something here, and I get that. How are you going to pay for it? What are you, what is your plan to do that? And that kind of thing. I think that's, these are fair questions. And there are certain things that went, all right, it sounds good. And, you know, it's like, it sounds good, but just this little thing here. Maybe address this, clarify that. And I think that's exactly what you would do if you went through this. You'd go, all right, what about this? What about that? Because I know, as you listen, you're smart, you hear these things, and you're asking some of the same questions I am. You might even be asking the questions before I'm even asking them, and good for you. But, yeah, you know, if you're going to sit here and just take this point by point, oh, yeah, that sounds good. And I think that's a lot of the hope behind it. But after a while, you just kind of got to get to the point to say, all right, well, that's great. How do you plan on paying for this? What do you plan on doing for this? And, you know, I guess my hope is, and with this plan, he gets to this to a certain degree. My hope is that he gets even more to the idea of, all right, well, this is what I intend to do, and a little less of the I can't stand Rick Snyder and hate everything he's done as governor. We've heard plenty of that. And, you know, getting to this, it's the start, but I think you need to get away from that, all right, negative, negative, negative on him. You need to say, all right, here's what I intend to do. Here's how it impacts the economy specifically. Here's what we expect out of that, and here's what it's going to mean for the state. And that, you don't see that in this plan. But I definitely want to hear from you on this. 877-382-4280. That's the toll-free number here. 382-4280 is the local number. Or 80373 if you would like to text us and be a part of the program that way. All right, let's head on over to the phone lines where Jim is standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Mark Schauer is going to talk himself right out of the governorship, isn't he, if he keeps going?
Well, it seems that way. And, you know, I guess, you know, I've gone through this plan, and there are points in here you can go, all right, yeah, I could buy that. But you just want a little more from me. Okay, how are you paying for that? What's your plan? How do you plan on doing that?
Yeah, and the rhetoric that the guy, that Snyder, was doing everything wrong when he was in office, is that's what's going to do it, because people don't want to hear the negativity. We're all in this state together here, no matter if you're Democrat or Republican. Let's just fix the problems. And we all agree the SBT, the small business tax, was a bad tax that they enacted back in, you know, 10 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And that had to go. You just didn't need to tax people's pensions and you know, rob the schools and different things for that, or the roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but one of the things that we're missing out here is that back in 2000s and for many years before that, public entities that own a lot of land in this county and in this state used to pay something called payment in lieu of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it went by, I think it's the acronym PILT. And those things funded your police departments, your local fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
They helped with roads. It didn't fund schools. It didn't fund local governments. It funded the services that those entities used. And back in the Jack Hogendyke days, they did away with that, saying, well, we can't tax Western Michigan University or Michigan State, who owns a vast amount of property in Ross Township.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make them pay for roads. We'll drive through Ross Township. Those roads are deteriorating. There's no money in that township to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
And they need that help. And, you know, we back in the early 2000s, money was flush. Maybe there was some remedy there and some relief for those universities and public entities of taking away that payment in lieu of taxes. But now we need those funds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, public entities or local governments are doing all they can to make ends meet with their fire departments or police departments, the roads and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just mm-hmm. not enough. I read some stuff from David Maturin talking about how before he talks about any road funding, he would really like to go and see how that money's spent in Lansing for roads. Well, come on, Chairman. We've been through this for 5 years now. The money isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
doing some cost savings across the board. I know that from local government standpoint. And you paying for roads, which seems to be the hottest topic now, has to come from the user fee called gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
And we might need a little bit of a registration increase. We don't need the 80% that they were once talking about in Lansing, because that would almost double your license plates for the year.
Mm-hmm. Now, nobody needs that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a true figure. They were going to do 50% the first year and 30% the next. That adds up to 80% on your license plates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's already a lot of people that don't buy plates. If you drive around and look at the stickers, there's a lot of different colored stickers out there that are expired.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the local police, of course, to enforce things like that. But, you know, they got to get off the pot here, and they got to just tackle road use tax and stick a nickel a gallon for the next 3 years on that thing, and let's start fixing these roads with potholes. Let's get back to providing the services that people demand.
Okay. All right, Jim.
So, but the payment, anybody that knows about payment in lieu of taxes is smarter than me out there. I would sure like to hear about it on your radio show.
Okay.
Because that was a valid source of income for townships and local government.
Well, maybe that's something that people like to talk about today. I do have to get some other people on the line, but Jim, I appreciate you calling in today. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. And maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. It's not something I am deeply familiar with, so I can't just delve into it right here. But maybe you're an expert on that. We'd love to hear from you. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, as we continue to talk about this plan. Let's head on over to the phones once again, where John is standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
First of all, I would love to endorse the previous caller, and I look at the city of Kalamazoo specifically. Western Michigan is demanding more and more property, particularly in our downtown, and there is no payment for the infrastructure or services, as our previous caller mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is why a public university should own land, number one. Number two, why they should own land and they have no idea what they're going to do with it, but they're taking off the tax rolls, number two.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, back to downtown, I believe it's roughly 45% of property owned downtown is owned by entities that don't need to pay property taxes, nonprofit churches and, and Western Michigan, and yet they demand services, but they aren't contributing anything. And this is one of the things that makes our downtown is a very sticky wicket for our downtown. And then my last comment on road funding, it was one of the Republican lawmakers that came up with, I thought it was a brilliant idea, pot for potholes. Legalize pot, tax the heck out of it. Use those funds to fill our potholes.
Yeah, and I've definitely heard that. It's a discussion to be had, but I think the other part of it is to figure out, all right, from a law enforcement perspective, what is that going to mean when it comes to, you know, drugged drivers and that kind of thing? That's the only hang-up I've got on that is, you know, how many more people are we going to loose on the roads that are going to be a problem at that point?
Sure.
So, all right, John, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a worthy discussion to say, all right, you know what, marijuana and that kind of thing that people have talked about, legalization, you can talk about it, certainly, but you've got to talk about the consequences. What would happen if that happened? What's involved with that kind of move? And I think it's a worthy discussion to have as well. All right, headed back to the phones where Tom is standing by. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I didn't catch the first gentleman's comments because I just turned the radio on, and he said drive through Ross Township and really get your eyes open, see how bad the roads are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's correct. I live on a Ross Township road, and it is not paved anymore. It's nothing but patch.
Mm-hmm.
But the comment I'd like to make. He said the townships don't have any money, which is true. But in Ross Township, you can get your road paved if you circulate a petition of the people that live on that particular road and get the, I don't know how many percentage, what the percentage is of the signatures you have to have. But then if you get it approved, the township will pay half, and then you're accessed by the frontage that you own along, you know, along the road.
Okay.
And, you know, and you can have it prorated, I think, for 3 years. It goes right on your taxes,
mm-hmm.
and it can be prorated for three years. So you don't have to pay it all at once.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, you can get your roads paved in Ross Township if you want to pay half. So that's just the comment I wanted to make.
Okay. Well, Tom, appreciate your comments today.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You know, that, and that is another option there that to talk about. But I think ultimately, you know, how many people are willing to buck up and say, all right, yeah, you know what? I'll pay half of the cost of the road right in front of my property. That can get a little expensive, and people don't know just how much a road costs.
Yeah.
But that said, I think, you know, and there were a lot of ideas thrown around there just by those callers. But I think, you know, the main idea is we need to come up with something that works a little bit better than what we're doing now. I wonder if it isn't involved with simplifying the way that the state pays for this, that, and the other. I mean, how much of our gas tax actually goes to roads? I think it's an important question to ask. There's not as much as should be. And you know, it's an issue. It's an issue. We need to know, all right, how much is this is going out and how much of it should be going out? I think these are good questions to ask. I think there's good questions to ask. All right, how are we funding education? Where are we going for it? What are we doing for it? What are we doing with it? And to talk about education and talk about, all right, well, you know, I think it's a misnomer to say we always need to be spending more and more and more and more. You know, we're spending more now on education than we ever really have. And what kind of results are we getting? And I think there's something to be said, all right, let's spend the money that needs to be spent. But I think there's the other part of it. Let's expect results of everybody that picks up a piece of chalk or a dry erase marker and attempts to teach a class. You need to expect something. You need to demand certain things. And I don't know how you do it. That's why I get to talk about it and why they come up with all the plans. But, you know, that's just the gist of everything that that you get. And, of course, this plan that Mark Schauer's come up with, interesting ideas. But the big question, how are you going to pay for it? I don't think there's a clear answer in there that tells, yeah, this is how we're going to pay for it. You can't just plan that, oh, we're going to have growth. Yeah, you might have some, but you're going to have to plan on some other things, and you're going to have to tell us specifically what you have in mind. Other things to talk about, an NFL team in San Antonio, Texas. It could happen, and you won't believe who it is. ...76 degrees in Kalamazoo, and their weather forecast brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out the local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. Well, an interesting thing, I follow the NFL. I'm a football fan. I don't know about you. Okay, I know if you're a Lions fan, all right, not much to cheer about, but I get it. All right, it's
Denver Broncos fan.
There you go. All right, so And Michael's home address is... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right. You know, you can just sit there and growl at him. That's fine. I do it all the time. Anyway, keeping up with the NFL is a lot of fun. And there for several years, teams were leaving their home cities left and right. Well, it's slowed down a lot. But we're hearing rumors. One of the teams that's in the NFL right now could be considering a move. Try this name on for size. The San Antonio Raiders. The team that has been in Oakland twice and was in Los Angeles for a while. Now, mind you, L.A. is free and clear, and they want to build a stadium there. Pretty nice one, from what I hear. But they actually, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, son of Al Davis, toured San Antonio with at least some interest. They took him to the Alamo Dome. They took him around the city, helicopter tour, blah, 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 rolled out the red carpet. I got to wonder about that. All right, he's having problems with Oakland, and I get that. But I think to myself, all right, moving down Highway 1 in California would be a whole lot easier to an area where you actually have fans.
that would be willing to come out and watch you play.
Exactly. Versus San Antonio, where people are going to go, the Raiders? They stink. Why?
Yeah, we don't want you here.
I don't know. It'll be interesting, but an interesting little thing to keep up with. See how it all plays out. We're going to be talking about Justin Amash and Brian Ellis. I'll give you my comments on that as we continue the program. .439-590-WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Well, we've been following for several weeks the primary battle between Republican incumbent Justin Amash and businessman Brian Ellis. This is in the 3rd Congressional District Republican primary. Well, polling data has been released, and I'll tell you what the polling data says, and then I've got a very brief statement about it that I think can be made, and can be made pretty authoritatively, I think, anyway. Polling data has come out. This is according to polling results released by Strategic National. Justin Amash has a lead over Brian Ellis of 51% to 31%. A 20-point margin. Now, that's been in the area where Amash has been sitting. Whenever they've done a poll, it's right around there, about 20 points. And I think, you know, it says certain things. And I think this is the definitive statement. And I know it's not over till they actually vote. But if the actual vote comes out the way this poll does, it's over. It's done.
Not even close.
Mark it down. Now, I think one of the things, when you look at polling data like this, I think there are some things that it lays out. Now, I've not seen a great deal of advertising from Justin Amash. I have seen some where he goes a little negative, says, see, look what Brian Ellis is what he's all about, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, all right, whatever. But I think the one thing that while you've seen maybe an ad or so that's that warm, fuzzy thing from Brian Ellis, a lot of what you're seeing is, oh, this Amash guy is horrible. Oh, he's awful. He's a friend of Al-Qaeda. And when I saw that one, I had to roll my eyes. I couldn't help it. It was just reflexive. Oh, my gosh. Really? You went there? And I think about this. A couple of things. First of all, you're beating up on someone in your own party. And it's gotten nasty. And I understand that after this happens, chances are Justin Amash is reelected to his congressional seat. It's just it's that kind of district. So the competition is here. I understand that. But if you start beating up on people in your own party, people in your own party are going to say, enough! Enough! This guy can't be that bad. You know, and you talk about all the negativity. And somebody brought it up earlier. We were talking about Mark Schauer and his plans, and Snyder's horrible, he's awful, he sucks, he's this, he's that, whatever. And I think a caller brought it up and made a very important point. People are tired of negativity. They're tired of the idea of, well, yeah, you see them over there, my opponent over there, they're the spawn of Satan. You don't want to hear that, and you know it isn't true anyway. I think the difference needs to be, if you're going to run against somebody and you're going to say, look, I don't agree with them, I've got a better idea, do it that way and don't paint them as the best friend of Al-Qaeda. That's not going to get you anywhere.
Nobody likes all that negativity at all.
You know, if you think about negativity, if negativity really defeats political candidates, why did Barack Obama get reelected? Because how much negativity was out there about that man? And it continues to be so. But he got reelected. Negativity is not the only thing you need in this. And I feel like that particular race, just watching it at a distance, and just fair, so you know, this is not a race I'm voting in, so I don't have a dog in this fight. But I think if you're approaching this and you're saying, well, gosh, I want to be congressman, you tell people why you want to be congressman. Here's my vision. Here's what I'm going to Washington to do. Here's what I want to do. Here are my ideas. Here's how we're going to carry those out. These are positive elements that you bring and you... And it's okay to debate, but I think bringing out some of this stuff to say, all right, best friend of Al-Qaeda, drop it already. Nobody buys it. Nobody believes it, and the numbers aren't budging. And I think the difference is particularly, too, with this. With Justin Amash, you know exactly what you're getting. And agree with him or disagree, you know exactly where he stands and you know why. If he votes against something, he explains why. He says, look, this is why I believe this is bad, and this is why I voted against it. There is no doubt in your mind. With Brian Ellis, you go, what's he about? And if you're coming into a campaign and you're new to constituents, you've got to prove to them, look, here's who I am. Here's why it makes a difference. Here's my background. Here's my beliefs. Here's my vision. If you're going to be a leader, you come at it with a vision and you say, look, here's my vision for where we're going to go. Here's what I want to do. And if you're running for Congress like that, look, in the next 2 years, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. And we haven't had anybody run for Congress that has been as bold as all of this, but I think it would be neat to come up and say, look, when I go, I want to be a person of action. I want to take action. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to introduce this bill, and that bill. I'm going to reach out. We're going to make some deals to get some things done. And you know what? If I don't get anything done for this district, send me home. You don't hear people that are running for office come to terms like that. That would be refreshing. But they're throwing down the gauntlet for themselves. They don't want to necessarily do that. Well, you know, it's going to take a while. Nothing gets done in Washington anyway. And it seems like kind of a cushy job. Well, you know, some people think that. Not everybody does. But that's the thing you need to do is come at it from a different perspective. Instead of all this negativity, oh, he's horrible. Why would you want him? Tell me why you are the alternative. Tell me why you are better. Tell me the things you intend to do and how you intend to get there. Or otherwise, don't show up and tell me that your opponent is the spawn of the devil himself and the friend to Al-Qaeda and the most horrible person alive. And you hear that out of so many races, and it's negative and it's stupid.
Yeah, tell me why we want you instead of the other guy.
Define yourself. I think it sounds so simple, but it is. It is that simple. Define who you are. Reach out and meet people and say, look, this is who I am. And yeah, you can do that. All right, here's the picture of the family, and here's what I've done, and you know, I've been in business and I've done this and that. That stuff's good. Okay. Then you step on and say, all right, here are the issues that I see facing us. Here's how we're going to fix them. Here's what I intend to do in my position, should you entrust me with it. But people don't run for office that way too often anymore. I think it's sad. And I think in this particular race would have been a lot closer had we seen something like that. There would have been this choice instead of going, well, all right, Amash, we know what he's about. What's this Ellis guy about? Now, it could turn out differently. It could be a totally different race than what the polls are saying, but you have polls consistently pointing to the same thing. I'm sorry, it looks over to me. Now, you know, the voting still needs to take place, but I don't know. I tend to think, you know what, this one is likely over. And the other part of it, outside money has not gone into this race. They're not going to spend money on a race where they go, you know what, we got a chance. 20 points is not a chance. So, and I hate to put it on that those terms, and I think, you know, for Brian Ellis, he's introduced himself a little bit, but if you really want to run for office, you're going to have to introduce yourself a little bit better than that. Just my 2 cents worth, a little bit of free advice, and you know what? There's always elections. There'll be another one coming up in a couple of years.
He could run again.
He could run again, and he might very well, because he's been aiming at this for a while, from what I've heard. So, should be interesting. All right. You know what? I think we need to do a little something different. I mean, I think we need to do something that's maybe just a little more fun. A little more, I don't know, a little something that that people will feel good about. Something that just gives you that that feeling right there. That sense that, yes, I have the opportunity to win. Either that or I have the opportunity to ring a bell. Either way, I want you the opportunity to go see a movie this weekend, and not one movie. No. That would be good. And I don't want you to just go and see two movies this weekend. See, now that would be great. But how about if you saw one of those movies on the IMAX screen?
Oh, boy. That'd be great.
That's like almost the ultimate weekend right there. All right. So what we've got for you, tickets to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, and that actually opens tomorrow. So you could even go tomorrow. Wouldn't that be fun? Guardians of the Galaxy, this is the latest in the Marvel universe of movies that is coming out. That's the one you get to go see on IMAX. And, you know, I mean, it's superheroes, sci-fi, action, adventure. I mean, that's exactly what you want on the IMAX. And then also at Celebration Cinema in Portage, you get the opportunity this weekend to go see Get On Up. You're saying, Get On Up, what is that? Think James Brown. You're a James Brown fan. You go, oh, I feel good. Yeah, all right. Well, two tickets to go see both of those movies, and I'd like to give them to you right now.
Right now.
Let's do that. All right, here's what you got to do. A couple things. If you want to get a hold of these two sets of tickets, I'll give them both to you. You got to give us a call. 877-382-4280 is the toll-free number. Locally, 382-4280. Those are the phone numbers that you need to get a hold of us. Now, when you do that, when you give us a call, you have to be able to answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael's about to lay on us. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, and just a hint, this is a James Brown-related question, but not about the James Brown. Another James Brown.
Oh, boy.
What is the name of the pregame?
Dare I think that Michael is stretching a bit here.
Yeah, I certainly am. What is the name of the pregame studio host for the NFL Today on CBS?
I wonder who that is. All right, well, if you know James Brown, who that is, give us a call. 877-382-4280 is the toll-free number. 382-4280, if you'd like to call us that way. If you know the answer to that, well, you know what? You're going to get a chance to go to the movies this weekend, and who wouldn't like that? Going to continue the conversation with you as we roll ahead. You know what? In Turkey, there's something that apparently women should not do. I'd be amazed by this. We'll share it with you here shortly. .456, the Jeremy Lawrence Show at 590 WKZO. We had the opportunity to give away some movie tickets. Somebody's going to have a fun weekend this weekend, and that person is
Rick from Portage.
All right, so Rick gets a chance to enjoy two movies, Guardians of the Galaxy and Get On Up. That's that James Brown biopic. And, of course, he had to know a little something. Not like we didn't drop a ton of hints or anything.
Yeah.
But he just had to be a good listener, I guess. So what was it he picked up on?
What is the name of the pregame studio host for the NFL Today on CBS?
Chris Collinsworth. No, I'm kidding.
it's James Brown.
Of course, but a different James
Brown. Yeah, I used to think it was the singer when I was younger.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference there. I just anyway, congrats to you on winning those tickets, and you're going to enjoy those movies. It's going to be some good, good stuff. All right. Close out the show with this one. This is interesting. Makes you glad that you live in America. In Turkey, the deputy prime minister came out and in a public statement said that women should not laugh in public. Women shouldn't laugh in public.
Is there a reason why they shouldn't laugh?
Well, he said this, and this is a quote from him. He says, chastity is so important. It's not only a name, it's an ornament for both women and men. And he says, she will have chasteness. Man will have it too. He will not be a womanizer. He will be bound to his wife. He will love his children. The woman will know what is proper and not proper. She will not laugh in public. Now, really, to me, there's not much of a reason in there other than just saying, well, this guy said, you know.
Yeah.
Now, as you can imagine, there are Turkish women that are laughing over this one. And I have a feeling they're probably doing it in public. Something tells me.
They're going to have one of those protests on the side of the streets where they're all just laughing about like 15 or 20 of them.
You would think. And I think, you know, all right, in America, I don't think you could ever pull it off. Because women are just going to go, please, come on. But it's one of those moments where I go, you know, I am so happy to live in this country where you can do whatever you want other than having, you know, can you imagine the vice president coming along? Okay, bad example, because I can't imagine Joe Biden saying something kind of stupid like that. But I think even he's smart enough to know, all right, if a woman wants to do something like that, that benign, and wants to do it in public, there's not a thing you're going to do to stop her.
No.
There's not one thing you're going to do. So I think an awful lot of people are saying, huh, I laugh at you.
It's not like we're emotionless.
Yeah. Thank God for America. That's all I can say. You know what? Tigers tomorrow, so we're going to have a shortened show. We'll see you then. Have a good one.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.